Well, Reincarnation is one of our programs on the Sci-Fi Network that will be aired during the week of November 16th, starting Sunday at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 p.m. Pacific Time as well. I don't have the exact order of the five shows that we did that will run Sunday through Thursday, but Reincarnation is one of them, and I think you'll like it. Now, we'll be back in a moment with Linda Backman as we talk more about regression on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to this hour of Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie with Linda Backman, Dr. Linda Backman. Linda, common themes and people in our past lives and our current lives. We talked a little bit about whether they're all intertwined, but do some themes continue to crop up that are pretty similar to the other life?
Yes, and I think that really helps people to understand, you know, who they are. So some examples. And you know, they vary from absolutely A to Z. So one theme that sometimes shows up are things that relate to physical health. So there may be a karmic issue that shows up. The person currently in their current life has a physical health issue. They've never been able to figure this out through, you know, many doctor visits and struggled with it for years. And often then they find, you know, one life or more than one life, they have had various health issues that are, it's almost like, George, and I actually believe this to be true, we have something you can call spiritual DNA. And so that spiritual DNA is something that remains with us. It's part of our soul material. So health issues are common. I've had clients come in who need to access a life where they've had a certain kind of problem in their abdomen or something like that. And once they access what that's tied to in terms of one life or more than one life, honestly, in many cases, it releases that physical issue. So that's just one example. I find that a lot of people, I happen to live in Colorado, people who are tied to indigenous past lives, lives in native tribes,
right,
often either live in those places now or are drawn. I have people sometimes who travel to come to see me for a session, and I've even had people come from Europe, and they will be coming to the Colorado Rockies because they had a past life here, and that's one of the reasons they came for the session. It's uncanny, you know, how we're guided.
Why is it that some of us, most of us, unless you regressed, don't remember the past life? Why is there this block, this memory block?
Well, I think primarily because if we didn't have that sort of amnesia, there are many learnings and experiences we would not allow ourselves to step into. So if we knew everything that had happened in the past, we wouldn't work as much on what we might call the progression of our soul, because we would be, you know, I don't want to go back there again, because when I lived in France in the 1600s, I was part of the French Revolution, and, you know, I died there, or something like that. If we have all that knowledge, we'll block ourselves from certain relationships, certain types of work, certain experiences.
This amnesia that we have, then, this healthy block that we get, when people begin to realize who they used to be under regression, can they use that to their advantage in their life?
They often then understand themselves at a level they didn't understand themselves before. Yes, absolutely. I mean, one case that was popping in my head when you were talking about themes, I remember a client who came in, a woman in her 40s or 50s, and she had been carrying around depression for many, many years and often felt suicidal. And she wanted to get past that and had tried many, many different things to lessen the depression and the feelings of considering suicide. We went into the past life where she discovered a past life where she, in fact, took her own life. And that helped her release that fear. Well, And you know, my sense is to tie another aspect into this, some of the listeners might be saying, well, of course she went to a past life where she suicided. She made it up because she needed to know that. So it might be useful for me to say just a little bit about, as I sit and listen to a client and as I assist the client after the session to trust what came through, how do we know it was real? Because that's a very common question.
Right.
If you were to be able to be a fly on the wall and sit beside me as I'm guiding a regression, this would probably make more sense. But to explain it in detail, a client will go to a past life where they're going to describe out loud such uncanny detail that they, unless they were some, you know, prolific novelist, it wouldn't happen. They describe their clothing in great detail. They may describe a scene where they say, for example, they fall off a horse and they fall to the left side of the horse and their left arm is bent underneath them. That's one way of strongly suspecting they're not making it up. They may be moving through the regression with no emotion. They'll stop and suddenly emotion is just, the catharsis is just huge. So that's another way. And the bottom line is, if it resonates for them, if it truly resonates and something is, it shifts for them after the session, then I say, well, even if you want to call it metaphor, it's beneficial.
Now, do people get more spiritual each life? I mean, will someone who's living now, let's say they're tuned in, I think the mere fact that someone is listening to this program means that they've elevated themselves spiritually.
Sure.
I just think people who listen to this show are way more advanced than most who don't. And it has nothing to do with the program. It just has to do with their own likes and dislikes. And I think they're learning things and they're growing. But will they always grow and get better and better and better in a past life? Or do they also regress in a past life? For example, with the person who is spiritual today, who's into, you know, doing wonderful things for human beings, might they come back evil and mixed up, or will they get better?
I would say more likely, much, you know, more, very likely, they will not regress. The only way they'll regress, and I don't think that what I would call a very capable soul or an experienced soul will go from being, let's just say, a profoundly philanthropic, you know, loving person. I would hazard to just, you know, go out on a limb and say they're not going to come back as a murderer. But just, I just don't think that happens. They might step back slightly because when they planned an incarnation with their guides and teachers, there were some, we might say, unfinished remnants of something that needed to be cleaned up. So then they might come in and experience, let's just say, a difficult...
Maybe two steps forward, one step back, maybe.
Right, right. I think that's possible.
What about someone who in this life, they're positive, you know, they give off great energy, but every once in a while, life will throw a curve at you. You know, life will give you disappointments.
Sure.
Life will take away someone you love.
Yep.
And you know, you've seemed trapped. There's nothing you can do about that. Can you move ahead, you know, in that reincarnated form, or does the person simply fall apart and have to start all over again? I mean, this progression that we've been talking about of getting better and better. I mean, have you ever had someone who just fell apart completely and had to go back to step one?
I would say, George, that doesn't happen. I have never.
Right, that's good.
In 15 years, and having other colleagues, of course, that I converse with who also guide regression, I would say, bottom line, that doesn't happen. I mean, as we're progressing, you know, we continue to progress. It's like if you reach the point in school that you did so well with, you know, mathematics and algebra, and you reach the point of geometry, you're not going to forget the geometry and go back to 2 + 2 = 4. It just doesn't happen.
So it's almost as if, Linda, that they have put in mechanisms to allow us to grow and move forward and not take those big hits stepping back.
Well, I think there's two things, kind of, George, that you're saying. As we progress as a soul, it isn't that they allow us. As we progress, we become more and more empowered. When we're scripting the next life, let's just say our soul has progressed at a level of 7 on a scale of 10. Then when we end a life and we're preparing for a new incarnation, we have a lot more allowances in terms of input as to how the next incarnation will go. And bottom line, that's also one of the beauties of a between life regression. Just like your show, at times I see a lot of clients who are fairly progressed, but they feel uncomfortable. They feel like they don't belong here. They feel like they live in this, we might say, crazy planet with strange behaviors and, you know, strange financial crashes that are occurring. And so often those people will come in, and when we do the between life aspect of this of a soul regression, they find it's easier to stay because they have the opportunity during the regression to remember who they are as a soul. And they don't struggle as much.
I like that. It helps them a lot, tremendously, in their life.
Absolutely.
When you look at your child, for example, this weekend I saw my little grandson. You wonder, you know, what were they in another life? And it's kind of remarkable, isn't it?
I have grandchildren, so I can relate. And I actually was in California with one of my 3 grandchildren this weekend, so I know what you're talking about. And think about, I'm sure you probably have thought about this, as have I, as have many. When you meet your grandchildren, it's like, do I know this child? Do I know this soul? Have I been with this soul before?
We might have been their grandchild in another life.
That's right.
You never know.
That's absolutely true. Yeah.
So many people, Linda, seem to be driven with trying to communicate with their dearly departed. I mean, it's huge. It's huge in Hollywood. It's huge in books. It's huge in psychology. It's everywhere. Why the obsession with trying to communicate with the dead, especially our loved ones? We just can't seem to release ourselves. We can't seem to let go.
I think because we live in a culture that still fears death. I think it's sort of the final frontier. You know, we brought things like sex out of the closet, and we brought same-sex marriage out of the closet, or same-sex relationships out of the closet. I think death, to a certain extent, in our culture, is still in the closet. So there are so many people, I'm sure you know this and talk about it on your program, who believe that there's nothing after we die. And so I think if we can communicate with loved ones, then we have the believability, not only that our loved one is all right, but that we know that there's somewhere that we go after we die. That's another beauty of this type of regression. In the past life regression, the client goes all the way to the final day. So we discover how the client, in fact, died. The client then experiences their soul leaving that body at the ending of whatever life they've just experienced, whatever life they've just viewed and learned about. And then we stop, and I teach people to do regression, so this is an important piece. We stop the client, and we take a minute, and we say, now, do you need to energetically communicate with anyone? And it's interesting. Some clients need to do a lot of communicating. I've had 20-year-old soldiers, meaning 20-year-old soldiers in the past life who have died, they need to go comfort their girlfriend, their mother. and then often, and this often relates to the more progressed the soul of the client, oftentimes the client will say, no, I'm finished. I completed that past life. I've learned what I needed to learn. Now let me travel into the wondrous realm of spirit. So it really varies, but I completely believe that after-death communication happens. And if there's one thing perhaps I help the world with, it's helping people to not fear that nothing comes after.
All right. Do you believe that a spirit, a soul, is also a ghostly apparition? And we'll talk about what those apparitions might be, but I mean, is this one and the same?
Yeah, I think it can be, yes.
I do too.
Yes.
So why would some ghostly apparitions not reincarnate right away? Somehow they seem to stick around. They're not going anywhere. They don't want to. They don't know. Yet others reincarnate, and it's done like clockwork. How come?
Well, so I think we have to distinguish ghostly apparition. If we're talking about I go to bed and I wake up in the middle of the night and one of my beloved grandparents is at the foot of the bed, and in the form of apparition, you know, as in that I see something.
All right. I would call that the entity a ghost.
Right.
All right.
Right. That doesn't necessarily mean that my grandfather is hanging around because he hasn't, we might say, he hasn't crossed over fully into fifth dimension. That just, in my opinion, that means that my grandfather has some reason for coming to visit me.
Well, what about his soul? Has it reincarnated? I mean, does it split?
Yes. Yes. So our soul energy can bifurcate, trifurcate. Our soul energy, we have the ability to be in as many places energetically as a soul as we choose. So sometimes I have widows who come in for a session, and they want to connect with their beloved husband, for example, and in fact, sometimes in regressions they do, but they worry. It's like if the woman was 45 and her husband, well, let's just say, was 52 when he died, the wife says to me, well, what if my husband reincarnates before I die? Then does that mean he won't be there when I cross over? And the answer to that is absolutely he will be there, because our soul energy is not just in one place.
You put this in a good way, Linda, because you make it understandable that you can have this ghostly apparition out there and a soul that has also moved on, maybe reincarnated, maybe not at the time. And I kind of like that. That kind of gives me an answer to the question, why don't they move on? It should be almost automatic, I would think.
Right, and I think in most cases it is. So, yeah, I think we make the mistake of thinking they haven't moved on when they have.
Is there a bank of souls out there somewhere to get regenerated into another human being?
Oh, I think there are always souls in the spiritual realm that potentially will incarnate. So if by bank of souls are you saying a bank of souls that have never incarnated before?
They're just waiting because maybe we don't have enough physical bodies for them.
Yeah, you know, the hard part is we're talking about a subject that obviously isn't human. The souls will come in when they're ready, but they have to be prepared to come into body, and so sometimes that takes time.
When we come back, let's find out whose choice is it to reincarnate. Do they tell us where to go, or do we? We'll be back. Next hour, we'll open up the phone lines, share some of your stories, questions with our guest, Linda Backman. And we'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Linda, who chooses the physical body that the soul ends up entering? Do we, via the soul, when we are in that state? Or, you know, is there somebody up there who picks and chooses for us?
That, again, great question. We basically, as a soul, in between lives, are you might say, again, to anthropomorphize it a bit, we go to a place where we go to an energetic location, so to speak, where we choose a body, we choose certain circumstances about our life, and our guides and teachers work with us. So it's really as though our very capable friends, as in guides and teachers, assist us, but we have choice of tall bodies, short bodies, Afro-American bodies, Native American bodies, Asian American bodies, or you know, whatever. We choose, and we choose with purpose. There's always a reason. I recall a client who described in this current life, she is of the Latino culture, and she could see, quote-unquote see, that she had the options of choosing anything from a Caucasian body to an Asian body. And it was explained the purpose and value of each choice. So we have those options.
What about our destiny? I mean, did I have this as a destiny? Did someone say, you know, in the book of life, this is what you're going to become? What steered me in this direction?
Well, it's interesting you're asking that. I actually thought about that during the break, so that's rather uncanny. But anyway, yeah, I mean, that's totally a true statement. For one thing, as I was thinking about you, given what you do, you are very likely not a new soul that just came to this planet for your first life. You probably have a fair amount of experience, or you wouldn't have the interests that you do. I think we're given choice points, George. I think that we can make any choice we want, but if we come in as, let's just say, a moderately experienced soul, then the types of choices we have might be somewhat different than if we come in as a very, very experienced soul or a very, very new soul. But I think there is destiny, but again, we have complete choice over, do we follow that or do we go a different direction?
On my very first reincarnation, however long that might have been and how many, do I start off on the bottom or, you know, am I at a pretty good level from the get-go?
All of us start off on the bottom. It's like you have to go to first grade before you can go to second grade and so on.
All right, but to me, bottom means someone who's evil, not that well-informed about spiritual matters, something like that. To me, that's what bottom means.
Yeah, I think, you know, people talk too much about evil, in my humble opinion. If we're a young soul, we don't come in and do evil. That really has not, it's not necessarily a one-to-one relationship. When I say you come into first grade before you go to second grade, all I mean is level of learning. So that doesn't mean that first grade means you're poverty-stricken and perhaps you have some kind of physical challenge. It doesn't mean that at all.
Or that we were all murderers in the beginning or anything like that.
I absolutely don't think we were all murderers in the beginning. I don't think that's the case at all. I think being, and when I say I think, again, based on regression, not just what, you know, Linda pulled out of the air, most of us are not murderers, and I truly believe that's a free will choice. I don't think that has anything to do with being a young soul.
In our life, though, is it scripted, or do we script it ourselves?
To be a murderer? Is that what you're asking?
Yes.
I think we,
or to be a radio talk show host or whatever else we become.
I think things like type of work, to be a radio talk show host, I think the type of work we might do can be scripted. For example, I know someone that I've regressed many times who has had many what you might call warrior lives. This person is a man, and he's had lives during various periods of history from being with one of the Khans, Genghis Khan or Kublai Khan. He had a life as a Templar knight. Various points in history, he has had lives as a warrior. That's a theme. Those can be scripted. But I don't believe we script to come in and be, you know, the murderer that ends up in prison.
Why do so many people, when you go out and you meet people, Linda, almost all of them will ask, so what do you do? I mean, why is that so necessary and important when, you know, one's job, you as a licensed psychologist, me doing what I do, that's not really who we are. You know, we're much deeper than that. You know, I happen to enjoy doing what I like to do, and I like to do a great job doing what I like to do. I'm sure you do, too. But that's not who you are. You know, Linda Backman may be employed as a psychologist or, a regressive hypnotherapist, but that's not who you are. But yet people will relate to what you do as who you are. Why do they do that?
Well, two statements. One, a non-spiritual statement, and the second one will be a spiritual statement. That's the culture we live in on this planet. I believe we live on a planet that is largely probably adolescent-level souls. We don't have a lot of progressed souls on this planet. I think there are certain pockets in the United States or pockets in certain other countries where there are more experienced souls living in those locations. I think that does happen. But by and large, you and I live on a planet of adolescent souls. I think that's shifting slowly over time. I think that's why we're seeing more of these children that we call indigos and crystals and rainbows. I think that's why those more experienced souls are coming into body now as, you know, as babies and growing up. But I also believe in karma leading to dharma. And by that I mean that as we step through our learnings and move, again, through gaining soul advancement and gaining greater wisdom, which means we might say cleaning up karma. And I don't exactly mean an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth kind of karma, but learning. We're all going through a process of advancing and learning. We reach a point, I believe, that we can be living in our dharma. And living in our dharma means that we are living life more from a pure perspective of who we are as a soul. I think we see a lot of people think about a composer, perhaps, who's composing incredible music, or who knows? I mean, George, maybe even you, given what you do and the content of the program that you do, you may well be living your dharma.
Maybe.
Yeah.
That's very possible.
Yeah.
Do we have a purpose with every incarnation?
Yes. Yes. But, so, you know, I love people who say yes, but, I'm saying that.
The qualifier.
Yeah. Each life has a purpose, yet, so let me back up a couple of steps. Clients who come in for between lives regression, that is their most common question. And in a between lives regression, you can ask questions. So it's almost like you're channeling yourself. The most common question the clients want to know is, what is my current life purpose? Current life purpose might be to be a very effective medical doctor, or to be a great creating new technology. But life purpose can also be to be a very giving person. I had a client 2-3 weeks ago when I was working in California seeing clients, and this woman had that very question. And this woman has struggled because her son went off to junior college and is playing football in junior college, and she missed making meals for the football team. So she arranged to do that for her son's football team, and she said she needed to know if that was ridiculous. When she went into the between lives regression and asked what was her life purpose, they said, this time your life purpose is to give to others. Now, it's not always, you know, that isn't always someone's life purpose. But They said, when you're giving to others, you are satisfying the purpose of your current incarnation. So it doesn't have to be go make tons of money and be an attorney.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Do people know that they're on the right track?
People sometimes know that they're on the right track. At other times, again, clients will come in and they want to ask when they're in the between lives regression. They want to ask, and basically these questions are being asked of their guides and teachers, am I off track? And what we hear time and time and time again is that we really can't be off track, that we are given as many chances to progress, to learn, as is possible. And spirit, it's amazing. The spiritual realm is a very benevolent support system that isn't like a chastising parent. So we're told, no, we're not off track.
And in some cases, people should know themselves if their direction is headed the right way.
True. True. I would very much agree with that. You know, I might just, if I can, just briefly plug a wonderful documentary here that I did not create, that's on my website, and it's called Spirit Space.
And which website we're talking about?
It's on RavenHeartCenter.com.
Okay.
And it was done by an L.A. Man who created this documentary. He's the producer and the director. He had a regression, a between lives regression, and he wanted to create a documentary about it. So it has a number of very interesting and, in some cases, very known individuals that have been regressed or are simply very, very spiritual. But he has a beautiful representation of how our soul progresses. So I would highly recommend Spirit Space. And again, it can be found on my website.
What was he in a previous life, this regression with him?
You know, it's interesting. I was not the person who regressed him. And that's an excellent question, and a question I can't answer. He was fascinated with traveling into the between life after whatever past life he accessed, and he found it so moving that he felt there needed to be a documentary available for people to understand more about how the soul progresses and how we can learn about our soul.
You think theologians believe in the progression of reincarnation?
I think there are theologians. I don't think they all believe in that, but I do think there are theologians that do believe in that. Absolutely.
I mean, I remember in school when I was a kid reading stories about how those in India believed in reincarnation, that they wouldn't eat, you know, meat, for example, a cow, because they thought it was, you know, the reincarnated someone that they loved. What got them on that path so many years ago?
Well, you know, it's an interesting question to wonder what of the spiritual cosmologies, the spiritual structures of today. You know, we might say Buddhism is as much a spiritual structure as anything, or mystical Kabbalah, or, you know, any, or Wicca, or any of the more mystical cosmologies. I would assume, and this, some of this would be based on regressing certain clients, that people interested or espousing those kinds of belief structures are souls of at least a moderate level of soul experience, if not more than that.
Cave people during their era, same thing? Reincarnated? Was there a reincarnated soul in a caveman?
I have had clients, George, who in fact go back to lives during prehistoric times. So yes, those are incarnations. I also have clients, this probably will not surprise you or your listeners, who have had lives on other planets and other dimensions.
That was my next question, too.
Okay.
How far do these souls travel throughout the universe, throughout these dimensions? And I guess now it's endless, isn't it?
It's endless, and in fact, based on regression work, we often incarnate in other, on other planets and other dimensions, and I just distinguish that because sometimes those incarnations don't have some kind of solid physical structure. Usually those incarnations other than on Earth are in places of, we might say, greater progression or advancement than this planet. This is the most dense place to incarnate. This is the dense laboratory where we are right now.
What does it take not to reincarnate anymore?
To reach a level of soul progression or soul wisdom, to reach the point that we can then work from this, work within the spiritual realm, we might say doing very, very quote unquote high level work.
Will we ever know if we've come back or not? In the point, I mean, will we ever know that we're not coming back again?
Yes, there are two ways to discover that. One, of course, is to finish a life and die and travel into the spiritual realm and then discover that. The other is there are times in a between lives regression where we learn what is the remainder for us, what is the rest of the work that's either left for us to do on this planet. And on occasion, a client will say they are either close to being in their final incarnation or they are in their final incarnation. Now, occasionally I'm skeptical when people say that because there are many of us who would like to say, I want to be finished so I can go home. But I do believe I've had some clients where the entire regression seems so credible and solid that when they said it was likely their last incarnation, that was very likely accurate.
Is that something to look forward to?
Oh, I think absolutely. I look forward to that. I'm not ready to go do that right now. I'm very pleased and happy with what I do with my life and with many elements of my life. But
sure.
But I do absolutely look forward to that.
I mean, the mere fact you do now what you do tells me that you're not going to reincarnate much more.
Maybe not. Who knows? I will say that even once we no longer have to reincarnate, we at times do reincarnate for very special purpose.
A little refresher course, maybe?
Well, maybe refresher. Maybe taking information back to the spiritual realm that the spiritual realm can't gain because many souls in the spiritual realm are no longer incarnating. But also, perhaps for the benefit of this planet, perhaps for the benefit of teaching someone who is here for very special purpose.
Who designed all this, Linda? This didn't happen by chance.
No, of course not. You can label it many ways. You could call it the source. You could call it the Tao. You could call it Great Spirit. You could call it God. There is a grand design because I hear about it time after time after time.
It is amazing that it was designed.
Absolutely.
I mean, truly amazing how it would happen. It boggles my mind. You just can't come up with the answer on how. You can't. Stay with us. Linda Backman, our special guest tonight on Coast to Coast AM. Up next, your phone calls and maybe your stories too.